Bush, it sounds like we've got everybody on the line. Just one moment. Here we go. Welcome to the call this evening. I put this on a general mute. If you have any questions or want to comment while we're going through the process, just press *6 and call out my name, Dave, 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 and I'll acknowledge you, and then we'll have an opportunity to visit. Otherwise, we want to keep the call as clean as possible. So many people have things going on in their lives, and occasionally they've got a soccer game or a birthday party or something else, and so we get this call posted by tomorrow morning, and it gives a person an opportunity to listen to it as a recorded call, and we want to make sure that we keep it as clean as possible. Well, welcome, everybody, tonight. It's great to have you here. We've got a lot of wonderful guests on the line tonight. We want to welcome you joining us at the Celebration for Life that occurs every Tuesday night. What we do on Tuesday night is cycle through the 6 qualities of an intentional creator. These are the qualities that are foundational to our success. We learn how to connect with people. We learn how to use our mind constructively so that we get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that will ignite our passion. We learn how to complete tasks, and that was our assignment last week. We spent our time learning how to do power sessions, staying present in the now, and I've asked Eileen Erickson to be with us this evening, and I'll have her join us in just a moment to share an experience she had this week in a power session. Now, it's my prerogative to do this in a slightly different order. The truth is, last week I felt impressed that we needed to spend our time tonight on finding joy in the journey. And as I was preparing for this evening, the very first thing I noticed is, oh my goodness, discipline and structure is number 4. And then I spent my time with finding joy in the journey, just reflecting on and pondering and reading the material and remembering when that was first recorded and put onto the tool set. And I just absolutely knew this is where we're supposed to be tonight. There's no accident. So who was ever on the line tonight, guest or regular, this is for you. This is a message that's important for you to hear tonight, to bless your life. There's a reason for us. We've never done this. We've never broken out of the pattern. We'd be on number 4 tonight, but instead we're on number 5, finding joy in the journey. So excited to be with you next week. I've already let people know that we're going to take on self-esteem next week. Self-esteem. What causes challenges in our self-esteem? 3 major principal reasons. What are our objectives? How do we heal self-esteem? I want to give you some very practical practices and techniques for you to begin the process of healing your self-esteem. Because when we're feeling whole and complete, real and genuine and authentic, we really show up for people. And we're attractive. We're attractive in that people want to feel that way. And in today's economy, and with expectations that are created in our minds, where some of us aren't so happy. Life just isn't quite turning out the way we had expected it to, and our tendency is to beat ourselves up, to tear ourselves down, question our beliefs, even our ability, and at worst, our very worthiness as a human being. So we're going to spend some time on that next week on self-esteem. So we'd like to invite you to do whatever is necessary so you can be on that call next week. That'll be a very exciting call. We want to make a couple of announcements that are important. I'll announce this now, and I'll try to remember to do it again at the end. We were meeting with the staff today. We have had so many women ask, is there any way possible that we could do a women-only retreat at the cabin instead of just a couples retreat? We've had so many requests over so many years, we have decided to do one. First week of November, mark your calendars, ladies. We are going to invite you all to come to the cabin. 15, that's all we can handle. 15 people. We've got 6 bedrooms and plenty of beds and bathrooms. There's 5 bathrooms that everybody can share. 15 people. We're going to leave on a Wednesday night. We're going to be there Thursday and Friday and all day Saturday and Saturday evening, and we'll leave on Sunday morning to return back to the Salt Lake area. All you'll need to do is get to Salt Lake. We'll pick you up at the airport. We'll provide transportation to get you to the cabin. You won't have to worry about a thing while you're there. One of the great things of having Ramona on board is you'll have some great food and you'll have a chance to participate in some great activities during the course of that weekend. That's a $1,995 weekend, but with this bonus. If you are not on this call on a regular basis, you're able to then attend this call on Tuesday nights for an entire year as part of that process. You'll also get an assessment and a personal debrief from me. I'll do a debrief to find out where you are so that we're spending the time that weekend with Ramona and with me. We'll know the things we want to work on so that you can start to find joy in your life, so that your self-esteem can begin to heal, so that you can be all that you can be. I have such love and respect for the gift of womanhood. I love my wife with all of my heart. We've been married 35 years. We have 7 amazing children, all married, and 18 grandkids and 3 on the way. But we're not old. We still act like teenagers around each other. We just have a great experience in life. And we want to talk about how to heal the power in you so that you can show up in current or future relationships whole and complete. So if that's something that would be important, you let our office staff know. We're going to take the first 15 people that can sign up for that, and that'll be a great experience. I don't like to use these coaching sessions to promote products, but I'm so excited about this. And we've been talking about doing this for 3 years, and we haven't been able to do it because we have so many couples retreats that get scheduled. But we're going to do this one, 1st of November, just for you ladies. This is your turn. Whether you're married or single, come to take on your power and your goodness, your intrinsic goodness as a woman. And you will be in the hands of one of the most amazing women that I know. The real deal. I'm with her all the time. She never changes. You'll want to know what she does and why she does it. So we welcome you to that event. Well, let's get started tonight. Last week we talked about staying in the now, fully present, in passion-driven action. Passion ignited because in the previous quality we learned how to receive inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that ignited this passion. And now we bring this passion into the now and we start executing. And to begin that process, we shared the concept of a power session. A power session being a block of time where we're totally committed to be present. This is a block of time we generally select at the beginning of the day. It's an important event. We're going to be there anyway. And we show up. I've asked Eileen Erickson to join us. Eileen is one of my personal coaching clients. With us here on Tuesday night, she's so faithful to be here. Jonas, her husband, is 92 years old, and Jonas has had a stroke. And Eileen is just an angel. We had Eileen and her husband Jonas at the cabin recently, and I took over the responsibility of getting him in and out of the car. And when I got done with the weekend, I had ever-increasing level of appreciation and admiration for Eileen and what she does. It's like if she can do all of this, certainly any one of us can. Eileen, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, Dave, I am. Thank you.
Share with us one of the power sessions that you chose to have several times over the course of this last week. Would you share with us a little bit, please?
Okay. There were two. One was my my taxes. I determined that I was going to take a block of time to get into my paperwork and get things straightened out. And I spent like 3 or 4 hours just concentrating on doing that. And I'm not done yet, but I'm setting another time. Maybe tomorrow night. I'll take an hour or two and try and get a little more of it done.
So we can go maybe tomorrow night, or we can go tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night is it.
Tomorrow night's it, so there's your power session. Here's the question. We take a task like this, and so many on the phone have got some of those big uglies, as we call them in the coaching sessions, big uglies. They're just, oh, my goodness. And every time we walk by them, we go, oh, I got to get to that. You know, I'm going to do that tomorrow. And obviously, you know, tomorrow never comes. It's always today, because tomorrow it'll still be today. We don't do it. But when you take on the task, Eileen, how do you feel after spending a power session working on a specific segment of your taxes? How do you feel?
Relieved. it's like it really wasn't as bad as I was making it out to be. I just had to determine to stay focused during that period of time, and just get on through it. So yeah, it was a relief. And it gives me hope because I know I can finish it now because I've got at least half of it done.
How wonderful. So we get relief, a sense of accomplishment, hope for the future, and you're saying maybe after tomorrow night, maybe one more power session,
this
is going to be behind you.
Right. I'll feel joy in the journey.
Yeah. How exciting. Instead of waiting till October 13th, you know, 2 days before the filing or the 14th or the 15th, because I know you file on the 15th of October, as do many business owners. Congratulations. Today happens to be the 14th of September. You finish tomorrow on the 15th. You're done a month ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think of all the time you will have saved that you weren't spending in anxiety every time you thought about it.
That's true.
This is so exciting. Congratulations. You also shared with me that you did another power session at a family event this last weekend. Would you share that, please?
Yes. It was kind of a family reunion down at my husband's son's farm with some grandchildren and their spouses. And usually at family gatherings, it's just really superficial, hi, how are you, or Merry Christmas. And, you know, just we don't see each other very often. And I hadn't really gotten into any of their lives very deeply, and I was really tempted, you know, to just go away by myself and just read, because I don't get much time by myself to read. And I thought, no, I'm going to really show up here, and I'm going to find out more about these relatives of mine. And so I spent at least a good hour in very intensive conversation with one of the grandson-in-law, and it was really rewarding, really fulfilling to be able to talk, you know, that deeply and get into his mind and just what you call intrinsic validation. It felt good. It felt really good.
You use the phrase intrinsic validation for those who are visiting tonight of the very first principle, connecting with people. We teach 7 very specific steps for getting in someone's world, creating a safe place, taking down their walls of resistance. You know, when you shared that with me and I pondered it between then and this call tonight, Eileen, the question that came to me was this. I wonder how inspired that was, that young man perhaps might have been struggling with something. And having someone listen to him and love him, you just never know.
Well, he did. He even shared with me. He said, I can't even tell my wife about this. You know, it wasn't anything personal, but it was something in his business that they shared with me. And so he was able to talk about things that he doesn't normally get to. And I was pretty much on the same wavelength. I was able to understand. And it felt really good.
Well, for those listening who are working on their power sessions, the very last thing we do at the end of the day is we journal what might have happened, or what happened, excuse me, that might not have happened had we have not been that conscious. And we know that when we do these power sessions, as Eileen is explaining, taking on a task, we feel a sense of accomplishment and joy and relief and hope. We connect with people deeply and richly, and we have a great experience, and we leave like a family reunion where we might normally just be, ugh, thank goodness that's over, with joyful feelings, having made connections with other human beings. And in our businesses, we connect with people. People can be put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve, because we are focused and present and willing and ready to serve. That's all power session is. So anybody who might have struggled, thank you, Eileen, that was wonderful.
Thank you.
For anyone who was struggling this week and saying, yeah, well, that's right, I was supposed to do power sessions, I didn't do them, and we can get all kinds of anxiety around creating something spectacular. This isn't about spectacular. This is about just being present in the moment. amazing things will happen when we're there. This isn't putting on a circus in your backyard. This is the fact that you may have sat down for dinner with a family for weeks and never really been there. You're working on this deal or that problem or this challenge at the office, and all of a sudden, you choose to show up. And just for a moment, your family feels your love. That's a power session. Just showing up so that your goodness, your genius, can be present in the service of another person. Or in the case of Eileen, getting a task done so you can feel better about yourself. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Eileen. And for those of you working on power sessions, if somebody had an experience with a power session and they're just, oh, they just can't wait, they want to tell us, as we're proceeding through this and you finally get the courage, just press *6, come off of mute and just say, Dave, and share your story. We want to hear your success stories. And so thank you. And take courage because power sessions are not an activity that we do with quality number three. Power sessions get introduced in quality number three and then become a way of life. We wake up in the morning. We examine our day. We read scroll five to get grounded. We decide what's most important. We start mentally rehearsing those events, getting ideas about what we could create and how we can create it and how will that serve. And then we really show up in those moments. And at the end of the day, we journal our experiences and we begin to have joy in the journey. As Eileen said so beautifully, connecting with people, completing tasks. Well, tonight we're going to go into a place that is a little complex. I was just working on, and it's going to be posted on the website sometime tomorrow, the latest version of Oh to Breathe Again. This is going to be the first chapter in the book, That Sucks, But I'm Okay, Intentionally Creating Peace of Mind in a Firestorm. So timely. There's a couple of phrases in this book, a couple of paragraphs I just wanted to share with you. It says, have you ever experienced or are you currently experiencing an unexpected or unwanted difficulty or challenge or emergency? You know, one of those moments we would all vote to avoid if we got a vote. Every day you respond. Does it ever seem like these challenges are compounding and piling one atop another? Losing any sleep? Ever feel as if you're drowning in debt, fear, confusion, or overwhelm? Maybe somebody on this phone knows why we're on this topic tonight already. Do you ever privately and secretly doubt your beliefs, your ability, or even your self-worth? If so, and with permission, let's dive a little deeper and explore what is real in your world right now today. Finding joy in the journey is going to require that we learn how to express gratitude. It's very difficult to do so when life is showing up differently than we expected it to. Here's some questions for you. Do you have a career? If so, are you stuck in a boring, mundane, and repetitious dead-end job? Or do you live and work in constant fear of losing your job? Or have you been laid off and can't find a job with comparable pay? Are you an entrepreneur? Have you poured your life and your life savings into a business that is struggling? How difficult has it been to find ways to generate the income needed to meet expenses and support your current lifestyle? How much of your day seems wasted juggling accounts payable and other non-productive activities? Does it seem like the rules have changed? At your current burn rate, are you running out of time? Do you ever feel like someone is slowly cutting your heart out with a dull knife? Relationships. Are you single? Are you aching for a deep, meaningful, committed, and trusting relationship? Or are you struggling to keep romance and intimacy alive in what was once a vibrant but now waning relationship? Just a couple more. Family responsibilities. Are you a young mother buried in laundry and dishes and poopy diapers and the constant demands of little children? Are you a young parent facing the prospects of educating children, yet needing to dip into sacred funds just to survive this month? Are you getting a little older and running out of time to prepare for retirement? Is any of this making you feel inadequate, unsure, unable to provide? And lastly, finances. Are you struggling to pay the bills? Is your rent or mortgage payment current? How about your other bills? Is your mortgage underwater? In other words, is your mortgage more than the value of your home? How much equity have you lost in real and personal property? If you have a retirement plan, have you sustained any losses? Had to sell anything at a greatly reduced price just to make ends meet? Does it ever feel like you're gasping for air, out of oxygen, out of energy, out of money, out of faith, out of hope, out of time? Does it ever seem unsolvable? Does it ever look like it's never going to end or get better? Is it like you're 70 feet underwater, tank empty, surrounded by flesh-eating sharks? And that story was told earlier in the chapter, when Ramon and I went scuba diving in Fiji and ran out of air. And slipping over the edge of exhaustion and panic, and there is no one to rescue you. Here's the truth of today. We used to, when we had these kinds of feelings, coach a client to have a better attitude. We still do that. But we would shift the attitude, and the circumstances changed. Now, it's slightly different. I've got somebody that just came off mute. If you could press star 6, that would be so helpful. Thank you. Now the truth is that there are things happening because of our economy and decisions that we may have made around the economy that really do suck. They suck out our energy and our enthusiasm and our desire to get up in the morning and take on life. That's the truth. And many of these things we have absolutely no control over. But we do have absolutely control over our attitude. I've shared with you in one of my favorite books, In Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, when he said to us that the last of the human freedoms was the ability to choose one's attitude in any circumstance. I wrote a little bit about this in this particular chapter. Says Victor shared this timely principle in a most poignant context. While in the camp, he lost his pregnant wife, his mother and father, and several good friends. They were all killed. In addition, his life's work, an exhausted manuscript, was torn up in his face while vile accomplices cheered on. Everything he lived for, his family and his research, was brutally destroyed. Victor and the others spared from the gas chambers were assigned to grueling work details, an interminable sentence to hell. Beaten down by the sheer gravity of their desperate and dire circumstances, and with no hope in sight, many gave up and simply died in their sleep. However, Victor noted that those who chose life and created a purpose for living, we might say learned how to find joy in the journey, even a thin thread of hope and purpose, and despite all the catastrophic losses, had a significantly greater chance of survival. And I concluded with this. We would never want to compare the challenges of our day with the horror of a concentration camp. It would be an insult to humanity. What we can do is learn this valuable lesson. In spite of the unspeakable, many still made the conscious decision to exercise the last of the human freedoms, to choose one attitude in any set of circumstances, and Victor meant any circumstance. From his words and actions, and all those who courageously joined him in this conscious decision to live, we can take courage. If they could, we can. I want you to ponder whether or not any of those questions that I ask are applying to your life. As one of the great challenges, how can we be grateful when so many things are challenging? Is it wrong to want more out of life? How could we be grateful and even content, yet focused on improvement? I want to do my very best to help this, help you understand this tonight. I'll do my very best. It boils down to this reality. We have gifts, and there is a giver of those gifts. We want to honor our gifts and also honor the giver of those gifts. One of the great ways that we honor that giver is by taking what we have, whatever it is, and making the most we can with it. This is the ultimate in a power session. Wake in the morning, we get present, read scroll 5, I'll live this day as if it is my last. I'll let one drop spill upon the sand. I'll not spend a moment mourning yesterday's aches of the heart, yesterday's defeats. Not a moment. I'm going to stay in creation with what I've been given. I'm not going to look up and see what the neighbors have or somebody else has. This is what I've been given. This is my opportunity to prove my goodness and my greatness, as Og says. And so I take what I've been given, and instead of being in resentment and resistance and frustration because it's not showing up the way I want it to, and parenthetically I might say that can both be materialistically and altruistically. What I mean by that, we may not be in the house we thought we would be in. We may not have the bank account we thought we would have. We also may not be saving the world at the level we wanted to be. It can be something good. It's just an expectation that's unmet. And we can be in resistance, resentment, and frustration, and overwhelm when it's not happening the way we wanted it to. And that very series of thought processes keeps us from doing the very thing that would change the outcome, which is focusing on what we have, and in partnership with a power greater than ourselves, begin the process of creating. We're in a laboratory. We're being taught to become creators. Not a thought. Wow. A creator teaching us how to be creators. At the end of the day, and I said a little bit about this last week, we return and report the labors of that day. And we rejoice in the creation, line upon line, precept upon precept. And each day we build the next piece, bringing us one step closer to our dreams. When we are in this form of creation, we absolutely can think about what it is we do not have, because that's where we're headed. We want to take this and create that. The very fact that we are intent on taking this and making it better makes it worthy. Everybody got this? The very fact we want to take what we have and create that with it makes the exercise worthy. That could be a material pursuit. It could be something altruistic where we're just wanting to bless people. It is the fact that we're engaged in the process of taking something and making it better that we honor the gift and the giver of the gift. It's been my experience that when we actually focus and do this, we may become less and less materialistic. It's possible. Or, if we do have things, we have them so that we can share them and bless the lives of others. Once we begin the process. But generally, when we're materialistic, we're also irritated and frustrated, envious, coveting what other people may have. I sound like a Sunday sermon. Don't mean to be that way tonight. But imagine, tomorrow morning, this is what is. We may say, well, this is not where I thought I'd be at this point in my life. This is not the money I thought I should be making. This is not the house I thought I'd be living in. It doesn't matter. We are here. This is where we are. This is your bank account. This is your credit card balances, mortgages, whatever it might be, relationships. This is what is. Are we going to focus on what isn't? Are we going to focus on taking the gift and creating the most we can with it? Now, before I go any further, I want to emphasize this point. When we're trying to find the source of our unhappiness, if we're feeling that, a little bit of it's generally unmet expectations. But there are inappropriate things occurring in reality. And some of them can make us feel uncomfortable. I'm talking about things like an abusive relationship. If you're in a dangerous situation, and the circumstances of your situation threaten your health or safety, please, please get some immediate professional assistance. I'm not a counselor. I'm a coach. You don't need to do this alone. And you don't want to apply these principles to that situation. It's not healthy. You can't take an abusive situation and make these principles work. It won't happen. So if that's happening, just please get some assistance. Now, most of us have several areas in our life that call for improvement. So the next thing I want you to be careful as we go through this tonight. We can identify those areas of growth. Because sometimes we're contributing to this. It's our thought processes, our actions, our behavior. We're actually making something bad worse than it needs to be. What we want to be very careful in doing is not destroying our self-esteem. We'll be very careful that we protect our self-esteem. It could be very fragile. So, noticing what needs to be corrected and beating ourselves up because it's there are two very different things. Because most of us do have several areas in our life that call for improvement. Identifying and systematically improving each area is essential to growth. That's what we do. We step back, we take a look, we see what needs to change, we change it, we grow, we shed our old skin, we step back, we observe what needs to be changed, we change it, we grow, or, you know, we need a new skin. St. Hogg says, today I begin a new life, today I shed my old skin. I shed it because I'm growing, it doesn't fit anymore. I let go of those bruises of failure and wounds of mediocrity. We will want to become the person capable of creating and then handling what we create. The word becoming means to grow into. So we want to grow into this person, uncomfortable as it may be at times. Intentional creators embrace growth. We live in a world that wants ease. No more stress, no more pain, no more frustration. Please, why isn't it happening? That doesn't exist on this planet. Intentional creators want to engage in life. They want to embrace principles. They want to connect with people. They want to create value in everything they do. They are alive. We want to be alive too. And to do that effectively, we'll want to grow. So we do want to identify and systematically improve. At the same time, we don't want to beat ourselves up for being, quote-unquote, less than. Okay, so the next question we want to ask ourselves is this. Is my life really that awful? Or is it only awful when compared against my expectations? I have watched this unfold with so many wonderful people who are just so frustrated and overwhelmed. And when they let go of their expectations, they discover that there are many things in their life that are very, very beautiful. We don't want to miss those particular pieces. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time tonight on unrealistic expectations. We spend that time when we're in quality number two. But for those of you who are listening that haven't been a part of this call, we know that entrepreneurial spirits have two thought processes in common, and those two thought processes cause them to think obsessively and quite often vividly. It's a very powerful gift, but it's also a very dangerous tool. Because whatever we think about, the brain has the same chemistry and circuitry firing as if we were there. It's very real to the mind. I recently wrote about it, and I called it non-negotiable mental monoliths. A monolith being a giant rock that in and of itself makes up a mountain. It's just huge. It's stuck in our mind. When life shows up differently than that expectation, that concrete condition for happiness, all kinds of chemical reactions happen in our body. So dangerous. The mind believes it's true. Life shows up differently. It always does. And we pay an awful price. The most common cause of unhappiness is an unmet expectation. And it's in this quality that whatever our expectations are, they are revealed. I asked those questions to begin with. Any of those true for you? Any of that frustration occurring, and is it frustrating that it is occurring? Is it different than what you expected? So when we step back from these sabotaging thought processes, such as vivid escape and avoid fantasy and catastrophe and destructive self-deprecating internal dialogue, and take a good look at our life, we may conclude that others are suffering far more difficult challenges than are we. In addition, we may discover that others are so focused on their own stuff, regardless of the seriousness, that they have little time to care about us. Now, this is a great secret. And it's going to become increasingly profound in the days and weeks and months to come. Because more and more people are going to become increasingly swamped by the anxiety associated with this economic downturn. They'll have less and less time to even notice other people. When you can be okay in spite of the firestorm, you get to show up and step into their world. You get to take down their walls of resistance, and when you do, they will release to you a huge reserve of cooperation and productivity. One of the greatest reasons why we want to have joy in the journey, to be okay in spite of this firestorm, you know, that does suck, but I'm okay. Because when we are, we're able to connect with people, bless their lives, but we become the ultimate beneficiary. They're just so consumed in their stuff. We'd be less concerned about what people think about us if we knew how little they actually do. But we can be the ones who notice them and show up for them. This brings unspeakable joy to us. It's a wonderful experience to be in partnership with a power greater than yourself, in connecting and blessing the lives of people, as Eileen explained when she was at the family reunion. This man has got something going on in his business that's so painful he can't even tell his own wife. You imagine what a relief it was to talk to another human being about that challenge? What a gift to give somebody. Now, let's be clear. Gratitude is not about saying, well, this is all I have, and this is all I'll ever have, and I'm okay not having anything more. In fact, I'm so grateful that I have what I have. It could be a lot less or even worse. At least I have this. I'm deeply grateful. Life didn't take away more than it did. That is not gratitude. Gratitude is about having a deep sense of appreciation for the solid foundation of reality on which to intentionally create a different future. Let me say that again. Gratitude is about having a deep sense of appreciation. It means we appreciate what we have. Solid foundation of reality. This is what is. On which to intentionally create a different future. Embracing what we have and owning it as our current reality facilitates peace. It removes obsessive regret, frustration, and stress, the emptiness of envy, and that frenetic, you know, chicken with its head cut off impatience of always wanting something other than what we currently have. When we are experiencing gratitude, we can stay focused in the now, doing our power sessions, learn the lessons of creation in the moments in which they occur, and at night sleep like a baby. We are content for a season. Monday morning, I woke up at 1:35, got up at 2, and wrote for the next 6 hours. It was an amazing experience. It was just poured out. And then we coached until about 6 that night. And I was working with the accountant to get the year-end things finished, and about 10:30 we called it a night. And as is the pattern in our family, Ramona and I kneeled down by our side of our bed to close the day. And I can tell you, it was emotional for me. I have done all that I can do today. This wasn't all that could have been done, but it was all that I could do. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while we sleep? Just like everyone, we've got our firestorms. But when we've spent the day present in the now, taking what we have and making the most we can with it, and then expressing the joy from that creation, whatever it is, we can be content for a season and sleep like a baby. Now, not every day's like that. I just wanted to share that one with you because it was such a tender moment. Now, on the morrow, tomorrow morning, we then arise early and honor the giver of these gifts by investing them wisely and maximizing and creating the most with what we've been given in the time allotted. We are always grateful for that which has been intentionally created that day in partnership with our partner. We are conscious of creation. And as Eileen shared with us, we are conscious of accomplishment. We feel and express gratitude and joy. We commit to create even more given the opportunity of another day. And when that day comes, we rejoice. And Og wrote in scroll number 5, he says, I'll live this day as if it is my last. This day is all I have, and these hours are now my eternity. I greet this sunrise with cries of joy as a prisoner who is reprieved from death. I lift mine arms with thanks for this priceless gift of a new day. vision that ignites our passion is more about finding joy in each millimeter of the creation than lamenting unrealized escape and avoid fantasies. Creation becomes a journey, not a destination. And we receive one of the prizes of life at the beginning and end of each day's journey, and it's called joy. Not the counterfeit joy you get when you're in fantasy, that norepinephrine-driven joy. This joy that I heard Eileen talk about. This relief, this sense of accomplishment, this hope. I think those are the three words she used. And our only expectations now, our expectation, is to show up fully capable, ready, and willing to handle whatever life throws at us. We do have a vision, but we also know we cannot control others or the weather, and so we stop trying to do so. We focus on inspiring and supporting and encouraging others. We stop the manipulation and coercion. We are flexible and accommodate any unexpected changes in nature and circumstances, while others weep and complain, and they do, and resist and rebel and kick and scream. We proactively stick to the work of creation, no matter what circumstances show up. We develop a bring-it-on mentality. And as Og says, we thus gain an insurmountable advantage. I love those phrases, insurmountable advantage, over what I called in the material a vitriolic victim of circumstance. Now, some of you on the phone have been trying to keep one foot in fantasy and the other in reality, and trying to straddle the gap between those two. We're just unable to charge forward. So tonight, let us commit to live. Let us choose life. Let us rise early in the morning and take it on. And when the day is spent, let us rejoice for what's been created in spite of the difficulties. Let us focus on what's been learned and how these challenges have provided opportunities for more growth, so that we can become, so that we can grow into the person who can create and handle ever-increasing levels of success. Now, fantasy is about escaping from our challenges. And too many of us have spent time in this place, escaping to a time in the future when we're rich or we're out of debt or out of stress, and what it's going to be like then. And even believing that some great force is going to simply change this. We talk about in the materials the fantasy fairy that's going to magically manifest our wishes if we just visualize them with enough intention. We watch enough television and movies that we think every problem can be solved in 22 minutes. One thing we do know, life happens much differently than the fictional characters, than the lives experienced by those fictional characters on television. And I'll tell you what, if we act out some of those things, we are going to have a lot of pain. So it's time to step back and see life and living differently than we may have been in the last decade, where we created unrealistic expectations. And instead of doing the work of creation, we funded them with credit cards and home equity lines. time to see it for what it is and what it is not. It is time to discover how to live and love and experience joy, real joy, not a titillating and often salacious counterfeit version. There's some wonderful information in the material about this, and you may want to spend some time here. Where I do want to go in terms of understanding this process, we only have a few minutes left tonight. And that's the role of joy and sorrow in our lives. When we engage in fantasy driven by vivid thought processes, or other forms of counterfeit pleasure such as pornography addiction, designed to anesthetize reality, we get a very unrealistic perspective of life. Fantasy does not have bad breath. It doesn't have body odor or any normal bodily functions. Fantasy has no bills to pay, no work to do, no schedule to keep. It never gets sick or ever has any accidents. It never gets discouraged or frustrated or disillusioned or angry. While in fantasy, does your car ever break down? Are you ever late for work? Does anything ever get spilled on your new outfit? Isn't it true everybody gets along? There's always love at home. Committed relationships are filled with courtship and romance and intimacy. Babies never poop. And they never throw up, and they don't cry. Everyone does what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. There is never an emergency or an imposition. The sun is always shining, and every day, everyone obeys the traffic laws and drives courteously. Isn't that interesting? Some of us might say, gosh, that would be nice, Dave. But that's not real. It's impossible to have joy in the journey if our expectations of how the journey ought to be are unrealistic. I want you, when you get a chance, to go into this material and listen. Because I pulled from one of my favorite books called The Prophet by Gail Gibran. Wonderful story about a woman who said, speak to us of joy and sorrow. And he said, your joy is your sorrow unmasked. He said, in the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oft-time filled with your tears. How else can it be? The deeper the sorrow carves into our being, the more joy we can contain. Is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? Is not the lute that soothes your spirit, that wonderful musical instrument, the very wood that was hollowed with knives? When you're joyous, look deep into your heart and you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy. Why, this is a tough thing to accept. But for us to find joy in the journey is to understand that when we're experiencing joy, as Gail says, at your board, at your table, sorrow is in laying on your bed, sleeping. We cannot experience joy without the opposite, sorrow. So when we're in the middle of experiencing sorrow, and we will have it in our lives, it's inevitable. If there is any way possible in that moment to be conscious that we are becoming capable of handling ever-increasing levels of stress and ultimately success. We are being hollowed out so there's more room for more joy. He concludes with, when you are sorrowful, look again in your heart, and you shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight. Joy is greater than sorrow? Nay. Sorrow is the greater. But I say unto you, they are inseparable. When we begin to understand this, that life is a laboratory in which we're taught the lessons of life, it is in the process of learning and stretching that we grow and become a person capable of handling those ever-increasing levels of success. Too often, we've been conditioned this way for a decade. Too often we want the joy without the sorrow. As Gail said, they are inseparable. Now we can fight this. It's an immutable principle. It's rock solid. You can't change it. Or we can embrace it. And when we embrace this principle, we begin to experience ever-increasing levels of joy. And when we're in sorrow, we're conscious of the fact that we're being taught. Even in Scroll 10, I will see guidance. Og encourages us to accept obstacles and challenges. I remember reading that and saying, Og, what are you talking about? Why would I embrace and accept these obstacles? Almost hope for them. The day finally came to me, and I said, I get it, Og. I finally understand. What you're saying to me is they're going to be there anyway. If every time I come up against one, and some of you on this phone are dealing with some that are so big and so painful and so horrible, if I spend 1 ounce of energy in resistance and resentment, I have simply compounded the pain associated with that challenge. It's there. It just is. It is what is. So we dive in with both feet and just take it on, and we wrestle it until we pin it down. Because we're going to experience disappointment, sorrow, and heartache and sadness. It's all part of life. Can't avoid it. If we can't avoid it, why not embrace it? As painful as it is, it will be less painful and be for a shorter period of time if we jump in and take it on. I would encourage you to do so. Now, it may sound a little weird, but I would recommend that you do so. Now, in this section, we talk about remuneration and recognition. In this world in which we're living, it's hard not to be over-focused on making money. The problem we run into is when we make that our focus, the very thought processes that would create it are kind of tied up in getting recognized, making more money, needing more money. I need more money to do this. Great. Stop thinking about it and go to work creating it. And we can start to enjoy the journey. It won't happen as fast as an expectation may want it to occur, but it'll happen a lot faster if we don't just stay focused on it. We get focused on what it will take to create it, the ability to acquire it, not the lack of it. So have some, spend some time with this particular section. There are two others in here that are important, handling hard times, because some of you, you break my heart when I talk to you on the phone. Because some of you it's just overwhelming. There's a section here entitled Handling Hard Times. Spend some time on this to put it in perspective and help you find the courage to fight through it so you know what it's about. I shared some very personal things in this particular segment about my sweetheart Ramona, who lost her sister when she was a senior in high school. 5 years later, her mother. 5 years later, her father. We were just up in Afton, Wyoming just a few weeks ago, decorating their graves, having a little family reunion. It was really tender. I'd share this piece with you in closing. The most critical moments of all are when we are feeling swamped with emotional pain. When the whole world feels like it's crashing in on us. These moments require a Herculean effort. And Hercules was a mythical character of great strength. And we're mere mortals, so what do we do? There will be moments when we must struggle with all our might against these emotional forces that would tear us down. It is in these pivotal moments, and Augie had one of those standing at a pawn shop. He's lost his wife. He's lost his daughter. He would never see them again in his life. He's living out of a car. He's an alcoholic. He's lost everything. He's got $30 to his name. Facing that moment, he's going to buy the gun in the window and go blow his brains out. That's what he's going to do. And I'm sure he was struggling with all of his might, but something happened. There was a power greater than himself that came to him in that moment and said, go to the library and read. No, I just want to blow my brains out. Go to the library and read. No, I am done. I am so tired. I am so exhausted. I can't do this anymore. Go to the library and read. 25 million people later, been blessed by that courageous decision, that Herculean decision in that moment. May we be conscious enough to say, not today, not going there today. I'm going to stay focused in creation. Some of these moments will be screaming so loudly in our minds. It's going to take all you've got. Just want to acknowledge that some of you are there. And the courage that it takes. This is going to be for a season. But the more often that you can rise above it, let go of the expectations, stay present in the now, focused on blessing the lives of others, using your mind constructively, getting those inspired ideas, acting on them, the more joy you can experience in the journey. The sorrow will end up to be a great gift to you because you'll feel joy commensurate to it. It'll also uniquely prepare you to serve others in the future when they're going through their dark nights. Well, everyone, may we have the courage. This is just a time in history. It's just a circumstance. So choose to become a victor. Serve others. Lift their burdens. Be a good example. Introduce, or if you will, reintroduce laughter when things get in proper perspective. I'm going to close by sharing, I'm a little bit over, but this is so important. Driving home Saturday, we're refinishing the outside of the cabin. We had a $2,500 budget to do it in 1 week, and now we're in our third week. It's absolutely out of control. I'm driving home, pulling a boat that in this economy isn't worth half of what I paid for, and a car that's worth a third of what I paid for it, a house that's worth half of what I paid for it, leaving a cabin that's worth half of what I paid for it. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at this going, I don't know if anybody really knows or cares. It doesn't matter. This is my life. I just started laughing. And I was laughing so hard I heard tears dripping off my cheeks. It was so cathartic, so cleansing. To just step back from it all and go, what an interesting laboratory. It's painful to pay for these things. And if I wanted to sell one of them, there's nobody to buy them. Anyway, oh my goodness, this is funny. introduce laughter in those moments. Then persist with undying tenacity. Never, never give up. And surrender to a power greater than yourself. And work in partnership with this power to bless the lives of others. People will be put on your path who can serve you and who you can serve. You will find unspeakable joy. You won't find it down in that place where things suck if you get sucked into it. Rise above it. Take courage. Experience the joy. Well, thanks, everybody. I pray in the depths of my heart that the information tonight will speak to somebody on this phone. Just to know that you're known. Just to know that there are those who admire you for your courage. Everybody have a great week. Next week we're going to take on self-esteem. So if you have your studio, go to there and listen to that segment, self-esteem, and we'll be prepared for next week. Thanks, everybody.